Bibles, Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Last week we talked about the beast that came up out of the sea. This week we're going to be talking about the next beast that basically comes up out of the earth. Revelation 13, when you get there, let's stand. We'll start reading in verse 11. Verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast, which he had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, God. We thank you, God, that we got your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that everybody in this building's got a copy of your word, God. Lord, and if we don't know it, it's not your fault, God. I pray right now, Lord, you just help us, Lord, as we try to explain and expound upon these scriptures just a little bit, Lord. Help us right now to have a better understanding, God, and whatever's done, we want to praise you. We're going to lift up Jesus through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we've already talked about the first two members of the unholy Trinity. We've looked at Satan, we've looked at the Antichrist, and in this message, we're going to get a kind of a glimpse of the false prophet. He's the person who's going to guide the world to the one world religion. He's going to guide the world through the tribulation period and bring everybody together. And let's kind of look at these verses just a little while. Verse 11 talks about the personality of this beast. Let's look at what he displays. The second beast is a man just like the first beast was. Don't forget that. We're talking about two men. The word another translated into Greek, it means allos. It means another of the same kind or equally. The figure it described here is a man, and it's proven also by his fate. When we study the book of Revelation, the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Now, this is talking about the two men, the two unholy parts of this Trinity. The Bible talks about he's got horns, which are a symbol of power. He has two horns, and the two horns is symbolic of a testimony. While the first beast had power over the territory he ruled, the second beast is going to have power through the testimony that he has. And I'll get into that in just a little bit more, in a little bit. The first beast had 10 horns. The second beast has two horns. The first beast had 10 crowns. This beast has no crowns. The first beast is described in terrifying language as a leopard and a lion and a bear. The second beast is described as a lamb. Now get a picture. The first beast comes with power as a ruler that's going to rule. The second beast appears as a man, as a gentle person. Now think about what I'm saying. This individual is going to appear on the world stage as a meek and lowly religious person. He'll have the charisma and the nature of a Joel Osteen. And I'm not calling Joel Osteen the Antichrist. Don't nobody leave here and say the preacher said Joel Osteen's the Antichrist. I'm just saying this man, when he comes on the scene, he's going to be like a Joel Osteen. He's going to be mild-mannered. He is going to be one that will bring everybody's going to feel comfortable around him. He's going to possess the religious power of what, of, I guess in our day, we would have somebody like the Pope. And a lot of people, and I'm not saying this, I'm just saying a lot of people believe that the Pope could be the Antichrist at that time. We don't know. While the Antichrist is going to rule the world with brute force, this man is going to attack the world through his pleasant personality and his pleasing words. Now look what he declares. Now he's going to be gentle, he's going to be meek, he's going to be a man of religious origins or religious attitude, but look what he declares. The old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover. This guy's going to be meek, he's going to be mild-mannered, but he is going to be a spokesperson of Satan. Now understand that. He's going to seem to be meek, but he's not. He's going to be a religious man. He's going to be promoting the worship of Satan. His true nature is going to be revealed by the words that he speaks. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. He's not going to be able to hide who and what he really is, even though he's going to be meek. It ain't going to take long for the world to learn what his man is. And it don't take long for you and I. Listen, all it takes is just a few times watching somebody or hearing somebody preach or teach, and you know exactly what they believe. I mean, when Joel Osteen hardly ever mentions Jesus. Joel Osteen hardly ever mentions sin. It's all about building somebody up. It's all about patting people on the back. And listen, and we know what kind of, let me tell you something. I'm just telling you, Joel Osteen is one of those that he wants to lift up people. Then you got these other guys on TV like Creflo Dollar, and you got T.D. Jakes, and some of these, they're all about the money. I mean, it's all about sinning in the money. It don't take long. You know what kind of preacher when you listen to somebody. That's the thing about it. We got to understand. That's why we need to come to church. That's why we need to come to Sunday school. It don't take you long sitting in a Sunday school class to know what kind of person's teaching. It don't take us long on our jobs to figure out people. It shouldn't take us that long in church to figure out people. Amen. You got people in church that, I mean, they put on that good front, you know, but behind the back, they're stirring trouble. Behind the back, they're trying to cause this one to have a argument with that one. Let me tell you something. It don't take long to figure out people when you know what you're looking for. The personality of this beast. Now, let's look at the power that this beast has. His power, it comes from Satan. The Bible says he exercises all the power of the first beast. The first beast got his power from Satan, so the second beast is going to get his power from Satan. The world's going to think this is a man of God. He's going to be hailed as one of the greatest religious leaders ever, and the world will not know the truth until it's too late. There's too many people in church right now that's being led astray. There's too many people in so-called churches right now that's being led astray. And the problem is, I told somebody this here a while back, I think COVID was a trial run on the world. COVID was a trial run on the church. Amen? I'm just telling you, folks, and people fall right into this stuff. And if we're not careful, we got to be careful. That's the source of his power. Let's look at the scope of his power. He's going to bring the whole world to one religion. Ain't nobody ever done that in history. He's going to bring the whole world. He's going to solve all the problems of all the religions in the world. Think about that. Now, as I was studying this thing, you know, the situation, if you look at the Middle East, the problem in the Middle East ain't political, it's religious. And that's the truth about pretty much in a lot of places in the world. It's not political, it's religion. But you got to understand something. That part of the world, all the turmoil in the Middle East predates Islam. We go back to Genesis. And we find out where the problem is. You have the Jews and the Arabs been fighting each other a long time before Allah was ever even supposedly come out. So this is a religious thing. And you got to understand something. When we get to that point, this man is going to, he's going to take the Muslims and put the Muslims with the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and all that's going to be able to come in. And the so-called Christians that's left, all those are just going to flock to him. Now, somebody said, I was thinking about this, I was studying. Somebody said, well, how in the world can they be Christians here? Let me go ahead and tell you something. Everybody that claims to be saved ain't saved. I want to mention this too. I thought about this, Chucky, as I was studying. When we say Christian in America, and when we say Christian in the world, let me go ahead and tell you, everything is categorized in that Christian name. You've got the Jehovah Witnesses. It's categorized in that Christian name. You got the Mormons. It's categorized in that Christian name. You got the Catholic Church that's categorized in that Christian name. So let me tell you something, folks. You can, when the true church is raptured out, there are going to be millions and millions and millions of people that's left behind that claim to be Christian. And this guy's going to be able to bring them all together. He's going to be able to, you know, they had something a few years ago called the Promise Keepers. How many remember hearing about the Promise Keepers several years ago? Let me tell you what the Promise Keepers was. That was somebody that was going to bring all religions together, all the men together, and they were going to be able to sit down. Let me tell you something. If you follow Jesus, you cannot sit down with a Hindu and have church. If you follow Jesus, you cannot sit down with a Jehovah's Witness and have church. If you follow Jesus, you cannot sit down with a Mormon and have church. Let me tell you, if you follow Jesus, you ain't going to be able to sit down with half the mainstream churches and have church. But this guy's going to bring everybody together, and the world is going to sit there and wonder about this guy. And how are they going to do it? Well, the Bible says that he's going to come on the scene, and the first beast is going to be have some kind of mortal wound, and the Bible says it's going to be by a sword, so I'm guessing it's going to be by a sword. I'm not sure. We don't know. It could be an assassination attempt, as I said last week, but the first beast, the Antichrist, is going to die, and he's going to come back to life, and this guy is going to praise him and lift him up, and the whole world is going to follow him. They're going to be looking for somebody to lead. Think about everything that's gone on so far that I've been preaching about over the last few months. We've got millions of people that have died. You've got famine and all earthquakes and all this kind of stuff that's coming on the scene, and people are looking for somebody to lead them. Well, it ain't going to be Jesus, because Jesus has already raptured out the church. So what's left? At some point, the Antichrist is going to set up temple, and let me get kind of back up just a second here. By this time, the temple's going to be rebuilt. We know from studying and listening and watching TV that there's already plans on building a new temple in Jerusalem. They've already got that's in the works. You go ahead and mark it down. That's in the works. That's going to happen at some point in the future. But at this time, the temple's going to already be established. We know from just listening to the news that last year, year before last, there was somebody in Texas that had already bred red heifers, and they've taken them to Israel. They are ready for the temple. They are ready to start that sacrificial service again. But at some point, the Antichrist takes over, this false prophet, the beast that I'm talking about, he's going to lift him up. He's going to tell everybody we need to worship him. He's going to make an image to him. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but he's going to have this image. They're going to make an idol to the Antichrist. He's going to be pushing everybody to worship him. And at some point, the Antichrist is going to march into the temple, into what we will call the Holy of Holies, and set himself up to be God. Most people believe at that point is when the Jewish nation will pull back, And I'm not going to get into that right now, but he's going to go into the Holy of Holies. He is going to declare himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us this, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The false prophet is going to support the claims of the Antichrist. He is going to push everybody to worship him. Remember what when we talked about the Trinity, what the Holy Ghost job is. The Holy Ghost job is to point everybody to Jesus. That's what he does. The Holy Ghost never asked to be worshipped. He wants us to lift up Jesus. And so this beast that's going to come out of the earth is going to be pushing everybody. He is going to be lifting up the Antichrist so that everybody flocks to him and worships the Antichrist. That's exactly what his job's going to do. Now, that's the personality and the power. Let's look at the performance of this beast. He's going to perform miracles, like I've already said. The Bible says that he's going to duplicate the miracles of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verse 5. He's going to duplicate the miracle of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 when Elijah called fire down from heaven and burned up the sacrifices and the offering on Mount Carmel. The Bible says that this man will be able to call fire down from heaven and the whole world's going to see it. Now, let me just stop right there. Even before the rapture, And I don't want to say this in a negative type way, but most people are so gullible today that if this man was on the scene right now, Dale, they'd follow him. Most people are so how can you say that, preacher? Look at what they're doing now. Look at some of the preachers they're following now. I mean, you go back to the late 70s, and Jim Jones killed I forget how many people in Johannesburg, South Africa. I mean, good granny, if it was happening back then, if somebody's able to call fire down from heaven, they'll flock to him. He's going to be able to do all these miracles. He's going to call fire down from heaven. He's going to be able to take the world. He's going to convince the world to build an idol to the Antichrist. And the Bible says he's going to cause that idol, Adrian, to come to life. Now, and I don't want to present this wrong. But in the time we're living in now, we've got machines that can talk. Everybody's heard of AI, artificial intelligence. Listen to this. I found out this today, and I've never been, so I had to read this. In Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, there's three great fountains inside part of the building known as the Forum Shops. This shopping complex has been designed to give the illusion that you're walking down the ancient Roman street. There's even a sky with clouds overhead. At the top of every hour, two of these fountains come to life. The statues in the fountains begin to move and to talk to one another and to the people that's watching. One of the fountains tells and acts out the story of the fall of Atlantis. That's going on right now. If a man can do that, what can the devil do? Now, I want to say this. I don't believe this is going to be artificial intelligence. I believe that this man's going to have that kind of power that Satan's got power. Somebody say amen right there. I was talking to one of our missionaries, Brother Sherwood Lee. One time he came several years ago with Preacher Carlisle Hanna, and I think he actually went in and talked up in the Sunday school about this. Brother Sherwood Lee told me, he said, I have seen in Africa totem poles move because of the power of Satan. False gods, false demonic spirits. Let me tell you something, folks, it's real. So I'm not saying it's going to be artificial intelligence. I just believe that Satan's got that kind of power, and people are going to flock to him. We're being prepared for the Antichrist right now. Amen. Think about this. had to do a little studying today. If he's going to do miracles, it's going to fool everybody. Amen. Copper River Baptist Church, Knoxville, Tennessee, in 1995 to 1996. Strange crosses of light appeared in the windows of the church. Several miraculous healings were reported, and strange visitors appeared and disappeared in the church. The home of Salam and Rushina Patel in Bolton, England, had recently been inundated by about 50 visitors a day coming to see the miraculous eggplant. Y'all heard me right, eggplant. Miss Patel foresaw the miracle in a dream after she had bought the eggplant from a local shop, and on slicing the vegetable in half, she saw seeds that were formed in the Muslim symbol, Ya Allah, which means Allah exists. And people are flocking to see that. A girl in Lebanon can produce crystals from her eyes. On June the 11th, 1995, a man suddenly appeared before a vast crowd in Nairobi, Kenya, gathering to witness the miracle healings of a Kenya spiritual healer. Somebody instantly recognized the tall man and said it was Jesus Christ, and the people fell down with emotions and worshiped him. Crowds flocked to Mexico, France, and Germany to dip in certain little streams because they think they can be healed. In 2015, a police officer named Tyler Bedos said a female voice guided him and others to a car accident that had been in the water for about 14 hours. The Vatican has confirmed now that a Colorado boy was healed by a nun from beyond the grave. So it ain't no stretch of the imagination to see how in the world people are going to flock to the Antichrist. I mean, we're doing it now. Amen. Somebody claimed in 1977, somebody claimed that they saw Jesus in a tortilla. Y'all heard me right. They built a shrine. They built a shrine, and people came and ran to that. In 2001, in September 11th, right when the attack happened in New York, somebody took a picture, and there was a cloud that looked like Satan. And I mean, people are believing all this. Has it ever occurred to anybody that they don't know what Jesus looked like, and they don't know what Mary looked like, and they sure ain't got a clue what Satan looks like? But they're flocking to all this. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, listen, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they will believe a lie. That's where we at. That's where we're at now. That's it. His motive is the false prophet does all this for the sole purpose of getting the world to worship the Antichrist. Now let's look at, I'm going to come to a close. Let's look at his personal number. Verse 16 through verse 18 talks about the mark of the beast. The Bible talks about it, 600, 666. It's a mark of identity. It causes all men, and it causes all men and forces all men to receive this mark. In other words, if you're here, you're going to get the mark. Unless you're in with the 144,000 that God's got out there in that wilderness somewhere, and God's hiding his children, I'm telling you right now, people say what they want to, you're going to get the mark. That right there, causes right there, it means to force. What's going to happen is you're going to be lining up with Satan. Right now, you know, right now you got people that they can make a choice. Right now you can choose heaven, you can choose hell. Right now you can choose Jesus, you can choose Satan. Right now you can choose good, you can choose evil. But at that time, there won't be no choice. You'll take the mark or you'll die. It's also a mark of isolation. When you look at this mark, this mark is tied to the economy. Now, most people believe that it could be a brand. I had a friend of ours in Conway. I won't ever forget. We were having Bible study one time, and she said that they had went somewhere like Carowinds or somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was. They went to Carowinds and said they stamped their hand, Brother Robert, and when they looked down, they couldn't see nothing. But when you put it under one of them black lights, it lit up. She said, I was scared to death. I thought I might have took the mark of the beast. But the Bible says it's going to be on the forehead or the hand. But it's going to be a mark. It will definitely be a mark. It'll be something that everybody can see. Amen? But you're going to be lining up with Satan. It's tied to the economy. In other words, you can't buy or sell anything without receiving this mark. Now, think about this. And every time I preach on the mark of the beast, I always mention this. What's going to happen when you got some of these young mothers and fathers that's got babies, and there will be babies born during the tribulation period, that don't take the mark, and that baby gets hungry? I won't never forget, I remember watching a movie one time about the rapture, and these people had them locked up, Jackie, and they were lining up. They had a guillotine outside. They were killing anybody that wouldn't take the mark, and that's biblical. Amen. Amen. That's biblical. They were killing anybody that wouldn't take the mark, that wouldn't forfeit the name of Jesus. And there was one young lady, and they were telling her, don't take it, don't take it, don't take it. And they got her in there, Brother Ralph, and they laid her down under this guillotine. And she was saying, I don't want it. I can't take it. And when she looked up and saw that guillotine, she said, I changed my mind. I'll take it. I changed my mind. And about that time, an earthquake hit or something, and the thing was shaking, and she was screaming, get me out of here. I'll take the mark. Get me out of here. I'll take the mark. And all of a sudden, it came down and killed her. Folks, this is going to be serious. This is going to be serious. All those who refuse the mark will be killed. Revelation 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It's going to be a mark of information. Now listen, it's going to be the number of a man. The Bible talks about the mark of the beast, the number of a man, 666. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. It's the number of man, but it always comes short of the perfect number. God's perfect number is seven. Amen. We understand the number six is seen several times in the Bible, and when it does, when you see the number six, it always comes up short. When Nebuchadnezzar made his idol in Daniel chapter 3 that all the three Hebrew children were supposed to bow down from, it was supposed to be 60 cubits high by 6 cubits wide. Hey, we know what happened there, amen. When Goliath came out to meet David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he was 6 cubits and a span tall. He carried a spear whose weight and was 600 shekels. And we know what happened there, amen. We know that God prevailed, amen. And when man is represented by the number six, God is represented by the number seven. Seven speaks of completion and perfection. God is perfect and God is complete, whether you're speaking of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. If you was going to give God a number, it would be 777. So, and get a picture of this. This is Satan at his best. This is Satan at his best, Steve. I mean, he has got it set up. Satan's being worshipped. The Antichrist is being worshipped. The beast is being worshipped. But his number is 666. He's still at his very best. He don't even come close to coming to what God is, amen. He's going to always come short. He's going to lose the battle. He's going to lose. Hey, thank God. Hey, just like they sang that song Sunday morning, I'm one of the souls that he lost, amen. Satan's going to come up short. So you and I need to make sure and settle our minds right now. I'm sticking with Jesus. Amen. I'm sticking with Jesus. I want you to bow your heads.